Two big stories added to the pile of news items this morning. Of course, the confirmation hearings of Supreme Court nominee Elena Kagan and the death of Senator Robert Byrd.
Joining us live is a top Washington insider and the force behind the West Wing report, Paul Brandis. Good morning and welcome to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Let's start with Senator Byrd. Give us your impression of the impact he made over these 58 years on Washington, on politics, and on America.
Well, Robert Byrd was really the lion of the Senate. Nine times elected to the Senate, more than anyone, had been in the Senate since 1959, and he really will be remembered as truly one of the legendary figures in American history, and his death casts a wide shadow over all kinds of things, including, of course, President Obama's efforts to get immigration legislation, the ongoing energy and the climate bill, and all sorts of things, and just to show you the respect that everyone had for him on both sides of the aisle just a few minutes ago at the White House. The flag, of course, lowered to half staff in his honor.
And respect indeed. I mean, people made the mistake over the years of underestimating the man.
Well, Robert Byrd, I think people learned that at their peril to underestimate him. He really knew the Senate and its rules and ways really better than anyone. That really showed over the last half century. He got so much money for his home state of West Virginia that, for better or worse, he was known as the king of pork. I think these days that's not something that you necessarily want to brag about, but it's the job of a legislator to bring home the bacon to your home district or state, and he did it better than anyone. So it's not just his fellow legislators who are mourning, but obviously everybody in his home state as well.
All right, we're going to shift gears now, talk about the confirmation hearings that will get underway this morning for a Supreme Court nominee, Elena Kagan. What do you see as her biggest challenge this week?
Well, I think that, first of all, I think the bottom line here is I think that she will be cleared through the Judiciary Committee, I think, in fairly short order, and same thing for the full Senate itself. She has no record, really, of making judicial decisions, so there's really not a lot of meat for Republicans to latch on to here. On the other hand, that lets the GOP say, look, she has a paper-thin record, and therefore might not be qualified to serve on the high court. But President Obama yesterday in Toronto said, look, I've been listening to all these arguments that the GOP has made against her, and they are, frankly, and this is what he said, I think it's all pretty thin gruel. So I think the feeling here and the expectation is that she's going to get cleared, I think, pretty quickly.
And yet they're expecting it several days of I guess, tough questioning.
Well, tough questioning, but that's what the Republicans obviously are entitled to do. Obama says, look, they should vote their conscience. But on Capitol Hill, that's not necessarily how the Senate works, certainly not in an election year, and certainly not with the Democrats somewhat on the defensive. So, yes, unquestionably, she's going to get these tough questions, but she's ready. She's been practicing this Q&A for weeks. They've anticipated all of the questions that she's going to get on all sorts of issues. So I'd be very surprised if she stumbled. I mean, the trick here for any kind of nominee for the Supreme Court is answer the questions respectfully while saying as little as possible. That's the trick, and I think she'll do quite well.
Yeah, following your West Wing report on Twitter, and it's a great play-by-play of what's happening at the very moment in Washington. And then every now and then you insert some great quotes from presidents and other figures in American history, past and present. Then a little comment like this just 3 hours ago you post, it's not inconceivable that President Obama could appoint one-third of the Supreme Court, even if he served just one term as president. That's an interesting and striking comment to make, and it certainly for folks on the opposite side of the president's aisle have that in mind as they argue against Elena Kagan today.
Well, I think the problem for yes, it's true that if Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is battling cancer, her husband just died of cancer yesterday, by the way, there's talk that she may step down in the near future as well. That would give Obama his third opportunity. But all of the justices that he has replaced so far have been liberals. So the stakes are not as high as they would be if Obama was replacing, say, a conservative like Scalia. So two liberals have retired, and the two liberals have been nominated. But if Ginsburg were to step down, that would be three in only, a couple of years. So if Obama were to be reelected, of course, nobody knows what's going to happen. It's not inconceivable that even more than that could step down. I mean, we're talking about going to 2016, 2017 years, so he could really remake the court in his image if he were to be reelected to a second term. So the stakes could not be higher.
All right. Well, we sure thank you for talking to us this morning. That is Paul Brandis with the West Wing Report.